Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
UTPB gets okay for new college. OA News at OAOA.com. The University of Texas System Board of Regents on Wednesday approved a College of Health Sciences and Human Performance for University of Texas Permian Basin. What we're doing there is we're reorganizing four different programs into this new college. So nursing, athletic training, kinesiology, and social work, UTPB's President Sandra Woodley said. Several of those programs will be moved to the new D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center on campus. The simulation and the clinical labs for nursing will still remain in the Mesa building, as will most of the nursing faculty. Donna Book is currently our dean of the College of Nursing. She will become the dean over this new college, and the nursing will be called the School of Nursing, as it is under the new reorganized college, Woodley said. Having the programs in the new building will enable applied research to happen between these disciplines, Woodley said. It's a common grouping, actually, if you look at other universities. We looked at several models. The synergy between those kind of community health-facing programs typically do go together, and other colleges and universities, sometimes all four of them, are not together. But any combination of those four you can find in other institutions. And so we think that's a national model that will serve our community. And we're excited to have this new facility where we can really add to the assets in that arena, Woodley said. On the net, utpb.edu. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 3,931. Ector County negative, 17,331, out of 21,502 tested, with 240 pending. 64 deaths. Recovered, 3,143. Active, 724. Midland County, 2,953 confirmed, 61 deaths. Texas, 557,256 confirmed, with 4,517,189 tested. Total Texas deaths, 10,559. U.S. cases, 5,460,429 total confirmed, and 171,012 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. Quick hits. Golf tournament. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce has scheduled the 2020 Chamber Challenge Golf Tournament. The tournament will start at 7:30 a.m. today and Friday at Ratliff Ranch Golf Links, 7500 North Grandview Avenue. The chamber will host 120-plus golfers from various businesses, and each team will have a tee time. Winners of the two-day tournament will be announced on Friday afternoon, as well as a raffle ticket drawing. The tournament follows a four-person scramble format. Each team must use each player's drive at least twice during the play. Prizes awarded to first place and to drawing of second and third place. Masks are required indoors, and social distancing will be implemented. For more information, call 333-7863 or email SamanthaC at odessachamber.com. Car show and shine. Gloria's Diner, 4906 Briarwood Avenue, Midland, has scheduled a car show in Shine from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. August 29th. There is no entry fee, no judging, and no trophy. Just show them off. Visit tinyurl.com/yy328280. Lip Sync Battle. The Music City Mall has scheduled a lip sync battle benefiting the Odessa Arts. Pick your tune, style yourself, and upload video to odessaarts.org by September 7th. Awards will be presented, $500 MCM shopping spree for first place, $200 shopping spree for second place, and $100 shopping spree for third place. There is no entry fee to participate. For official rules, visit odessaarts.org/contests. From staff reports. Closing prices. Posted, $39.25. Futures, $42.93. Natural gas, $2.426. Benchmark U.S. rose 4 cents to $42.93 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Page 2, read. Supporting the Blue. A local doctor with the Odessa Regional Medical Center recently treated Odessa Police Department officers to a cake. Courtesy photo. Permian Basin weather. 5-day Odessa and Midland forecast. CBS 7. Your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tieferteller, Lauren Bostwick. Today, partly cloudy with northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. High 99, low 72. Friday, mostly sunny with southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. High 102, low 73. Saturday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. High 101, low 74. Sunday, mostly sunny. High 100, low 74. Monday, mostly sunny. High 98, low 73. New Mexico outlook. Hobbs, partly cloudy. High 97, low 69. Redoso, mostly sunny, high 87, low 63. Fact, on this date in 1886, the town of Indianola, Texas, was completely destroyed by a hurricane and never rebuilt. ECISD reports 3 new COVID cases. OA News at OAOA.com. ECISD on Wednesday reported 3 new COVID-19 cases, all employees at Odessa High School, a news release said. The ECISD District Operations Department is making the arrangements to clean and sanitize areas of the school that are directly impacted. The total number of positive cases since August 5th is 24. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 20th, 2020, local and state. Man charged with stabbing another man in torso multiple times. OA News at OAOA.com. A 23-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly stabbed another in the left torso 3 times, which included cutting his left lung. Cody Brian Scott Howell was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. He was additionally charged with resisting arrest, search or transport, a Class A misdemeanor, and public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. He also had a parole violation. The reported assault happened around 1:45 a.m. Tuesday in the 200 block of East Valencia Street, an Ector County Sheriff's Office affidavit stated. Ector County Emergency Communications reportedly received a call that an injured person, identified as 47-year-old Randy Scott Raspberry, was transported to Medical Center Hospital by private vehicle. Witnesses stated to deputies that Raspberry arrived at his residence at 1:45 a.m. and saw a window had been broken out of the RV where he lived, the affidavit stated. Raspberry reportedly believed that his residence had been burglarized and went to investigate. He opened the door and Howell was found inside. Witnesses stated they saw Howell make stabbing motion toward Raspberry during the struggle and then fled on foot, the affidavit stated. Raspberry had been stabbed and drove himself to MCH. Medical staff reportedly detailed to deputies that Raspberry was stabbed 3 times to the left side of his torso, and one of those stabs cut his left lung. Howell was arrested and booked in through the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 7:44 a.m. Tuesday. He had 2 bonds, totaling $21,000, and was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. He doesn't have bond set for his charge of public intoxication. Police searching for man in connection to theft at auto parts store. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a man who was involved in a theft at an auto parts store. The reported theft happened at noon, August 11th, at the Advance Auto Parts, located at 1413 East 8th Street, an OPD press release detailed. Investigation showed that the man stole property and left the scene without making any attempt to pay. OPD has released photos of the man that can be seen at tinyur.com/y4y5ejv6. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact Detective Y. Medrano at 432-333-3641 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, T-I-P-S, and reference case number 20-0014071. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. OAOA.com. Solar farm construction complete. OA News at OAOA.com. 174 Power Global on Wednesday announced that it has completed and energized its Oberon solar power facility in Ector County. The project, a news release details, is one of the largest utility-scale solar generation facilities in Texas. Chariot Energy, an affiliate of 174 Power Global, has entered into a power purchase agreement, PPA, for 30 megawatts, MW, of the 180-megawatt project to support its 100% renewable energy product offering to retail customers across the deregulated Texas energy market, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT. This is a major milestone for both 174 Power Global and Chariot Energy, as we commissioned this project as a means of helping transform the way energy is generated and provided to the grid, said 174 Power Global and Chariot Energy President and CEO Henry Yun. This announcement underscores our commitment to providing sustainable energy solutions to homes and businesses across the state. 174 Power Global broke ground on the 180-megawatt project, located outside of Odessa, in June 2019. The area was selected as it receives an abundance of productive sun. The facility is comprised of more than 560,000 solar panels. The energy generated by the Oberon facility also will directly benefit Chariot Energy retail customers who will receive grid energy powered by solar without the need for the upfront expense of costly equipment traditionally required to go solar. Last year, we set out to position Chariot Energy as a leader in the renewable energy space at the consumer level in Texas, in addition to providing world-class customer service and transparency in our product offerings, said Yoon. Today's announcement does just that. Customers who choose Chariot Energy get clean, solar-generated electricity at prices competitive with energy plans that rely on traditional sources of energy, such as fossil fuels. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Obituary and death notices. Obituary. Cole Wilson Stanley, Del Rio. Cole Wilson Stanley was born in Odessa, Texas, to Chad and Laura Stanley on March 26, 1997. Cole is preceded in death by his great-grandparents, Pearl and Jim Miller, Dwight McAnally, Roy Wilson and Geneva Stanley, Edwards Sparks, Royce and Eva Jean Chrysler, Eugene and Dorothy Fromm, grandfather Larry R. Chrysler, and uncle Jeff Patterson. Cole is survived by his fiancée, Shelby Freeman, parents Chad Wilson and Laura Stanley, brother Coy Edward Stanley, sisters Catherine Miller and Carrie Jean Stanley, and nephew James Craig, all of Midland, Texas. He is also survived by his great-grandmothers, Catherine Sparks of Odessa and Billy McAnally of New Braunfels, Texas, grandparents Thomas Wilson and Kathy Stanley, Ronnie and Linda Miller, all of Midland, Donna Chrysler of Divine, Texas, aunts and uncles Michelle Dennis of Wichita Falls, Texas, Rod and Lee Danielson of Camino Island, Washington, Lana Armstrong of Seattle, Washington, Zane and Rihanna McKinney of Divine, Texas, Ryan and Valerie Stanley of Port Neches, Texas, Larry and Shauna Zachary of Lumberton, Texas, Jason and Stephanie Collum of Midland, Texas, as well as many great-aunts, uncles, numerous cousins, Kappa Sigma fraternity brothers, and many, many close friends. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, August 21st, 2020, at Stonegate Fellowship in Midland, with Channing Chrysler officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pallbearers will be Tuff Lee, Trevor Wilkinson, Coy Stanley, Tracer Jones, Dalton Stray, and Brandon Fortune. Memorials may be given to Christian Outdoor Alliance, Midland High FFA, or Midland County 4-H. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Albert Carrasco, Jr., Odessa. Albert Carrasco, Jr., 38, of Odessa, died Monday, August 17th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. on Friday, August 21st, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Wanda L. Eli, Midland. Wanda L. Eli, 77, died Friday, August 14th, 2020, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Beulah Faye Wisman Partain, Odessa. Beulah Faye Wisman Partain, 94, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 15th, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of Life is scheduled for Monday, August 24th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Fabian Lopez is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Paul Price, Midland. Paul Price, 58, of Midland, died Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., August 22nd, 2020, at Greenwood Baptist Church. The family will receive friends from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, August 21st, 2020, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Greenwood Baptist Cemetery. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Lonnie Waymond Wilson, Midland. Lonnie Waymond Wilson, 80, of Midland, died Friday, August 14, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., August 20, 2020, at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland.
Health and wellness. Breast cancer can be inherited through gene mutations. Dr. Philip Che, Midland Health. While millions of people are breast cancer survivors, it remains one of the most common cancers affecting women. Regardless of the high survival rate of breast cancer, I often hear misconceptions or myths about the disease. In this day and age of online information, it's easy to get bombarded by what I often refer to as Dr. Google. It's important to have the facts and dispel common myths surrounding breast cancer. Myth number one, you'll get breast cancer only if you have a family history. Breast cancer cannot be inherited, but a higher risk of developing it can be inherited through gene mutations. Only 5% to 10% of cancers are from inherited gene mutations, and about 85% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer do not have a family history of this disease. If you have a strong family history of cancer, genetic testing can identify your risk for certain types of cancer, including breast and ovarian. The testing provides information and the opportunity not only to reduce the risk of cancer, but also to save lives. Detecting cancer early is one of the most important things people can do to protect their health and significantly increase the chances of successful outcomes. Myth number two, if you are diagnosed with breast cancer, you must have your breast removed. A breast cancer diagnosis does not automatically result in a mastectomy. Most women diagnosed with breast cancer will need some form of surgery as part of their treatment, but it will vary with each case. Some women need removal of a small piece of breast tissue, lumpectomy, while others will need one or both breasts removed, and possibly lymph nodes. The type and stage of the cancer will determine the need for a mastectomy. Your breast surgeon and you will determine what type of surgery is best for you. Myth number three. Lumps in your breasts means you have breast cancer. In truth, there are many conditions that may cause breast lumps, and for women under 30, lumps are typically benign, non-cancerous. Additionally, it's important to pay attention to other less-known symptoms of breast cancer, including change in breast size, shape, or color, nipple color change, nipple retraction and/or discharge, dimpled skin near the breast, an underarm lump, and isolated pain. If you experience any unusual pain or change in your breast, you should consult a physician. While these are common symptoms of breast cancer, changes in your breasts can also indicate other non-cancerous conditions. If you need to further investigate, the Breast Center with Midland Health can provide you the services necessary to give you answers. Myth number four, breast cancer only affects women. Breast cancer is more common in women. However, men can also be diagnosed. About 1 in 1,000 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer in his lifetime. It was estimated in 2018 that about 2,500 new cases of invasive breast cancer would be diagnosed in men, and nearly 500 men would die from breast cancer. Breast cancer can have a huge impact on the lives of those diagnosed and their families, but with regular screenings and advanced technology and treatments, more people than ever are surviving this disease. Early detection saves lives. Dr. Philip Che is with Texas Oncology, Allison Cancer Center.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. This is the opinion page. This column is called Opinion Extra. It is entitled, Candidates Should Be Celebrated for Being Part of the Solution. To Michael Booker, James Fuller, Matt Galindo, Rachel Davis, Robert Marquez, Joel Deal, Katie Joyner, Steve Vargas, Joseph Gallegos, Brian Murray, Adrian Carrasco, Will Green, R. Sean Rainey, Scott Lynch, and Ralph Way. From Stuart Doreen, Midland Reporter Telegram editor, sdoreen@hearstnp.com. Re-contested races in November 3rd election. Let me be the first to say congratulations on your respective decisions to run and be part of the electoral process. Whether it is for Midland ISD School Board or Midland College Board, each of you have decided to be part of the solution and try to make a difference. And no matter who wins, each of you should be celebrated. You are sticking out your necks when it would have been easier to avoid the confrontation. I sincerely hope that the process from now until November 3rd is beneficial for you and the community. I hope that when the election is over, you can say that you enjoyed talking issues, meeting people, and trying to make Midland a better place. I hope that you can tell the next person interested in running for elected office that you didn't regret one moment. The Reporter Telegram will try to make your running for office as easy as possible. Our goal is to publish profiles on all candidates in competitive school district and college races. They are to help introduce or reintroduce you to the community. It will take a while because there's still 11 to write, but be patient, we will get there. We also plan to allow you to tell the electorate in your own words why you are the better candidate for Midland at this time. Those opinion articles will appear in Sunday editions as we approach the start of early voting, October 18th, and then Election Day, November 3rd. It is a presidential year, and the candidates running for Commander-in-Chief are likely to get the lion's share of the attention. But we can do our part to make sure voters have information to educate them about your races. The Reporter Telegram also will be here for your supporters to send us their letters to the editor. Please make sure they know that those letters should be no more than 200 words and should be emailed to letters@mrt.com by noon on the Thursday before the Sunday they wanted to run. Contact me at sdoreen@hearstnp.com with any questions there. The Reporter Telegram does not endorse candidates because we believe it is better to put the information out there and let the people decide. And with your help, we can get more information out there and educate the electorate on the issues of the day and the candidates on the ballot. Again, I applaud you for seeking positions that will require so much of your time, will mean so much to the education of thousands in Midland, and will pay you nothing in return. I think that is what is meant by public service.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Other Voices, OAOA.com. Fighting for Education. On this day, 222 years ago, a man named Marabou Lamar was born in Georgia. Though he wasn't born in Texas, he got here as fast as he could, making his mark fighting valiantly at the Battle of San Jacinto, before eventually being elected as the second President of the Republic of Texas. His ultimate legacy, however, is being the father of Texas education. President Lamar was often quoted as saying, "A cultivated mind is the guardian genius of democracy," and I couldn't agree more. He put his words into action, setting aside land for public schools and two universities, Texas A&M University, 1876, and the University of Texas, 1883. As a product of West Texas Public Schools and A&M graduate, I'm grateful for Lamar's grand vision for education in Texas. I'm also thankful to all of the teachers, coaches, professors, and administrators who helped me along the way, and for the experiences I had with my classmates, many of whom are still close friends. It goes without saying, but we are living in historic and uncertain times when it comes to educating Texans today. Will your kindergartner start school on a campus or in your home? Class of 2020 high school graduates, will you have the chance to gain the freshman 15 living in a dorm, or will it be on your parents' couch? Will teachers have to teach to a test for the sake of testing, or will the state allow for creativity and flexibility when it's needed most? The questions are endless for parents, students, and teachers alike. This is the first year for my wife and me to have a child in school, and we certainly understand and are experiencing the struggles like so many other parents. We are also giving all the grace needed to those we're entrusting to help educate our daughter. But there is one thing that cannot be questioned. The state's commitment to meeting the funding requirements of our public schools and universities. During the 2019 legislative session, I was proud to support efforts to increase the state's share of public education funding in order to provide property tax relief, reduce Robin Hood payments, and increase teacher pay. While much was accomplished in 2019, there's still a lot of meat left on that bone, and now is not the time to relent. Pandemics and budget deficits are not an excuse to allow the next generation of Texans to fall behind their peers in other countries in their educational pursuits. The founding fathers of our nation and state faced greater odds than those we face today. Their legacy shows us the path to follow. Regardless of what the future holds, you can rest assured I will be fighting for West Texas, and fighting for Texas educators and students. God bless Texas. Representative Brooks Landgraf. Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties. Brooks Landgraf. Guest View. Public Schools Need Support by Amy Trees Dodson, M.Ed. Friday night football games, choir concerts, one-act plays, and halftime marching band performances. Pep rallies, the annual Meet the Athlete nights, and preparations for stock shows. The hub of our communities is the school, where so many parts of our identity and a sense of family resides. The place where children get meals, the place where children wear their school colors, and dream of being like the high school students they look up to one day. The place where they are safe and nurtured. The place where dedicated adults live out a calling as teachers. The same teachers who cried over the loss of their classes last spring, who worried about their kids every day. The place where the very future of our towns and cities, of our rural roots, is sustained. As Texas families ponder the beginning of the school year, they're understandably mourning what they're missing and perhaps have some frustration with the options before them. COVID-19 has taken so many things away from us, and what we had hoped would be a short-lived challenge has turned into something much larger. For some families in our area, COVID and other economic challenges that came during this time have also exposed the vulnerability of their daily lives, particularly related to work, access to housing, and even putting food on the table. Meanwhile, an essential lifeline, our local schools, has been yanked away, and the mental, emotional, and academic ramifications for students may be evident for years to come. In March of this year, there was an outpouring of support for teachers everywhere, As time went on, the enthusiasm for teachers was replaced by frustrations with remote learning, which, despite being an important option for some, has revealed an infrastructure problem with connectivity in many of our communities. It has also made very clear that nothing can replace the effectiveness of in-person instruction and a great teacher. Our public schools ensure our children have access to the best prepared teachers, access to the best resources and systems designed to help meet the needs of all students, and sports, arts, academic, extracurricular, and other offerings only provided by our public schools. COVID-19 not only threatens our health, livelihoods, and economy, it threatens the ability of our public schools to support the interest of our local communities over the longer term. Texas bases school funding on daily student attendance. Clearly, this could be proved to be a very real challenge this school year, though it's through no fault of our schools. School districts must prove to the Texas Education Agency that students are still learning, whether at home or in school buildings. If students were to not enroll this year in your local school to pursue learning through another means, they will not be counted. Hypothetically, that means that if even 10% of students don't re-enroll, the district will see about a 10% budget cut this school year, which will almost certainly mean teacher layoffs. It would mean fewer counselors, librarians, nurses, and other support staff, and possible long-term impacts once COVID-19 is behind us and more students return to campus. This entire experience has been daunting and overwhelming at times. Leaders across our region have spent untold hours planning the safest and best way to bring all students back to school. Every plan looks a little different. Every plan has changed 3, 5, 27 times since June, but the foundation of each Return to Learn blueprint is to educate every single child in our communities. To meet each child where the new learning was disrupted last spring, and to move them forward to where they need to be for success in 2021. How can you help? Stay engaged with your child's learning, have patience with him or her, while giving grace to both them and to their teachers as they adapt to all that is different. If you are confused or unsure about something with your school, ask campus or district leaders rather than flounder in uncertainty. Tell your state representative you support your public schools to fund them for the entire school year based on the previous year's enrollment, to make certain vital services are not lost, and that every child will have what they need. Is the 2020-21 school year going to be normal, like what we have always known? Of course not. Are we eventually going to get back to some sort of normalcy? Absolutely. Opening schools is essential to a strong recovery and is a shared responsibility among our state leaders, local school districts, parents, and students. If we take care of our public schools, and by extension of our communities, they will be strong enough to take care of all of us in the future. Please make your voice heard. Please stand up for your schools, for your teachers, and for all the children of the state, because a strong Texas recovery requires strong public schools. Amy Trees Dodson, M.Ed., is Regional Advocacy Director for Raise Your Hand, Texas. Letter to the editor, a belated thanks to Odessa. Back in late 1956, a buddy and I ran away from our homes in Burbank, California. We hitchhiked down to San Diego with the plan to go through Mexico to Honduras. I was the USA representative and monitor for radio station HROW in Tegucigalpa. We were both 16 years old and went to a Catholic school, where we were members of the California Cadet Corps. We were wearing our military uniforms. anyway, in San Diego, we thought that maybe was not a good idea. Instead, we hitchhiked on Highway 80, headed east. Finally, we were picked up by a young soldier who had just been discharged at Fort Lewis, Washington. He was headed home and told us that there was a lot of work in his hometown, Odessa, Texas. His name was Jack DeLoach. We went with him. When we got to Odessa, his family put us up like we were part of their family. Jack told us we could go down to the Union Hall and get hired as roustabouts. Me being about 110 pounds never got us a job. I had worked at a Shell gas station in Burbank since I was 14, so I knew how to do lube jobs, oil changes, tune-ups, brake jobs, etc. Finally, after a week or so, I started looking for a job. A gentleman, Dub Appleton, who owned a Texaco station there, hired me. My buddy never found a job. Nonetheless, I rented a room in town. A few months later, we were walking to our place after my workday ended. Dub had bought me a six-pack of beer. On the way, we were stopped by an unmarked police car. When they realized who we were, they took us to the station. There, they tried to call the Burbank PD, collect. At first, Burbank refused the charge, so then the Odessa police told them they had the two APBs. Burbank then accepted the call. They told Odessa to hold my buddy and return him to California. They said to release me. My father and I never really got along. I visited the Navy recruiter and took some tests. They said I could go to electronics school. I had just turned 17, and my father had already signed papers okaying my enlistment. I then told Dub that I was going in the Navy. I joined on a day when they said I would be going to Bainbridge MD for boot camp. We spent 3 days in Houston, and lo and behold, I was shipped instead to San Diego for boot camp. After boot camp, I was sent to the Navy's Gunfire Fire Control Technician A school for 9 months. After graduation, I was transferred to a destroyer, the USS Picking, DD-685, in Long Beach, California, ironically my birth town. Served the rest of my enlistment aboard the Picking. I am now 80 years old and just wanted to thank the DeLoaches for their hospitality they extended to two runaway youngsters. I am not sure if I ever thanked them as a youngster. I have tried to trace down Jack to no avail. If you have known him or his kin, please pass on my profound thanks to them for their generous help to a youngster. Phil Finkel, Marietta, Georgia.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Lonnie Waymond Wilson. Lonnie Waymond Wilson, 80, of Midland, passed from this life on August 14th, 2020. He was born to the late Willie and Hattie Wilson in O'Donnell, Texas. He is survived by his wife, Betty Joyce Wilson, sons Dennis, Ricky, Sean, and Kevin Wilson, daughter Deborah Ratliff, brother Leldon Don Wilson, and 25 grandchildren. A funeral service will be held August 20th, 11 a.m., at the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, 4805 Gateway in Midland. Mr. Wilson will be available for viewing at the church beginning at 10 a.m. prior to the start of the funeral service. Burial will immediately follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery / Funeral Home / Crematory. Death Notices. Juan L. Corrales, Little John, passed away August 6, 2020 in Odessa. He was born to Mary Selena Rivas and the late Juan L. Corrales II on April 12, 1993 in Monahans, Texas. He is survived by his mother and two siblings. A viewing will begin at 10 a.m., followed by funeral service at 2 p.m. All arrangements will be held at American Heritage Funeral Home. Ralph Miller. Ralph Miller, 83, of Midland, passed away on Monday, August 17, 2020. A private service will take place on Friday, August 21st at 2 p.m. The service will be live streamed at www.livestream.com/npw. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. William M. Thurman. William M. Thurman, 81, of Midland, passed away August 16, 2020. There is no service planned. Survivors include wife Carmen. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Do I need blood pressure meds? Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 71-year-old female who is basically in good health. I am active and still working. I usually walk 3 miles per day, 5 days per week, and try to stay limber by doing strength training and stretching to enhance my health. I eat healthy with low salt and hardly any caffeine. I tend to have high reactions to drugs. How do you know when you really need blood pressure medicine? I have received conflicting advice. For example, I have been told that blood pressure is a cycle in that it is lowest when sleeping, rises in the morning, and continues to rise during the day, and then starts to go down at night. However, I've been told it should be kept to 120 over 80. I also read that as you get older, it is natural and okay for the systolic to be 135. After walking and breakfast, many times I have pressure ranging from 104 over 65 to 134 over 72. I noticed that occasionally the systolic may hit 140, but rarely, and that is usually in the afternoon or at a doctor's office. DCS. Answer. Variations in blood pressure send many people to see their medical doctor, and we know a great deal about its complications and treatment. It is somewhat surprising, then, that there remains uncertainty about deciding who needs treatment. Nonetheless, there is increasing certainty with the publication of new studies. More information about a person's blood pressure is better. A single reading a few times a year at a doctor's office is not the optimal amount of data. A high-quality home blood pressure cuff is a great way to get additional information. The more readings, the better the picture. You and your doctor should check your average reading to decide whether treatment will be helpful. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, long ago, divorce remained source of constant criticism. Dear Abby, I desperately need to learn how to cope with caring for my mother who is living with me. We get along most days. However, she is very much a negative Nancy on all topics, especially my life. I have been divorced for more than 10 years, but she digs about my ex and his new wife as often as possible. I have asked her repeatedly to stop, but she flat out refuses because he left me in financial ruin. Yes, my ex is more financially stable today than when we were married, but I am neither desolate nor destitute. She makes me feel like no matter what I do for her, it's not enough. And before you suggest it, our only option is to live together. Please help salvage my emotional state. Challenged in Texas. Dear Challenged, for the sake of your sanity, you will have to learn to change the way you react to Mommy Dearest, who can't let go of her grudge or resist stirring the pot. Do you think she does it because she enjoys needling you?
Is she bored and has nothing better to talk about? When she makes negative comments about your ex, don't take the bait. Ignore her, leave the room, or counter by saying something positive about him. I hope you can come up with some good material. And when she complains that you don't do enough for her, start doing less, which may make you feel less taken for granted. Understand that you may never please her, and when the quarantine ends, encourage her to spend time at a senior citizen center volunteering to help others less fortunate, or some other activity that will get her out of your house. You should also spend less time with her when you need to. Dear Abby, my late husband and I had a dysfunctional marriage. He died in a car accident in 1995 at the age of 49. I was 44 then. I did my best to shield my then teenage daughter, Wendy, from his opiate addiction, suicide attempts, physical abuse, and the constant flux of income because we were on and off welfare. On the flip side of his character, he was funny, super smart, helped anyone who needed help, and was loved by everyone. Little did I know my husband had been confiding all of my perceived faults with Wendy over the years. 25 years have passed, and she still has residual anger toward me for things I never did back then. It spills out when she judges me or accuses me about issues that happened between us today. Her father was abusive and neglectful of her too, but she doesn't remember it. In her eyes, I was the bad guy in the marriage, and he was the good guy and her hero forever. I don't know how to heal the ugliness between us. I don't think it's productive at this point to tell her how bad her father treated me back then. I continue to love her unconditionally, but it still doesn't overcome her underlying pain and anger. Was I wrong for hiding everything from her? It's not fair being thought of unjustly. What else can I do? Failing in Florida. Dear Failing, by protecting your daughter from the truth all these years, you have contributed to the situation you find yourself in. Tell your daughter it's important the two of you get some issues out in the open. And if she agrees, make an appointment for you both with a licensed mental health professional who can facilitate and mediate the long overdue discussion.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Virgo. Happy birthday for Thursday, August 20, 2020. Imaginative, courageous, and fun, you empathize so much you must be careful not to self-sacrifice this year. Allow yourself the very best that there is, and laugh about the past. This year is a discovery year, with stellar recognition. If single, you search for ecstasy with another, which sometimes turns into escapism. Few can keep up with you. If attached, your joyful bond is unbreakable. Taurus is as loyal as they come. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Now is a good time to keep up with regular medical checkups. Taurus, ruler of sound and hearing, is accented. Listen carefully. Casual conversations or podcasts about health overheard coincidentally offer useful information. Tonight, catching up with an old friend. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Romantic needs are evolving. Today initiates some unexpected developments in love, perhaps a change in the status of a relationship. Practical expression of your creative ideas, perhaps involving a project that you love, makes this a cycle of contentment. Tonight, dance like no one's watching. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 3 stars. Today brings family matters and heritage to your attention. Home improvements, genealogy, or real estate transactions can be involved. This is an intense pattern. Your workload is heavy, but much can be accomplished. Tonight, extra responsibilities involving a family member. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. The day starts quietly and then gets faster and faster. Pace yourself and your priorities. Your monetary prospects should improve dramatically. This pattern has been dubbed the millionaire's aspect. Make the most of opportunities for gain today. Tonight, in pure disbelief. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Excessive generosity could create a pitfall now. An old obligation is completed or a purchase is finalized. You seek to balance career goals with family life. A change in the status quo is coming. Let matters evolve. Tonight, all will be well after a period. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today ushers in fresh enthusiasm and a desire to begin new projects. Business travel is likely. Remember to get both sides of every story. Sort through the facts and finalize decisions. Cheerfully demonstrate what you're capable of. Tonight, a new professional status unfolds. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Be aware of how repeating habits and patterns affects your life's path for good or ill. Examine the past if you want to know the future. Know that you can change your habits and patterns and thus change your future. Tonight, write it down in stone. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. A perspective on how you affect associates, what you can and can't do with them, is a focus. Today also brings a renewed sensitivity to the ecological, economic, and political issues that impact the quality of life for the masses. Tonight, take the night off. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Self-reliant Sagittarius is forever dedicated to growth and expansion. Set goals to honor today and begin fresh projects. You are moving forward on so many levels. This is marvelous for travel and for overall decision-making. Tonight, write a wish list for the year. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Your intellectual gifts are in top form. Relationships with in-laws or between grandparents and grandchildren will improve. Old wounds are soothed. It is an optimum time to pursue independent study or to enroll in educational programs. Tonight, quick, bright solutions to problems. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Mysteries and all kinds of research captivate you. This can involve communication with a spirit guide or a friendly ghost. Reflect carefully if you're considering a career change. The day's end brings contentment and a positive resolution regarding finances. Tonight, giddy with relief. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 3 stars. Keep love expressions light and friendly. An old flame can reignite, but a past pattern is likely to repeat. Don't rule out being friends with someone who is a generation or more older or younger. Tonight, talk honestly with an old friend. Born today, theologian Paul Tillich, 1886, author Jacqueline Suzanne, 1918, filmmaker David O. Russell, 1958.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.